This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما خلقنا السماء والأرض وما بينهما لاعبين لو أردنا أن نتخذ لهوا لاتخذناه من لدنا إن كنا فاعلين وقال تعالى في مقام آخر وَإِذَا رَأَوْا تِجَارَةً أَوْ لَهْوًا انْفَضُّوا إِلَيْهَا وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا قُلْ مَا عِندَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهْوِ وَمِنَ التِّجَارَةِ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم كل شيء من لهو الدنيا باطل إلا ثلاث انتظالك لقوسك وتأديبك لفرسك وملاعبتك لأهلك فإنهن من الحق وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers and elders, the verse that I selected for discussion today, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes mention in this verse that we have not created the skies and the universe and the earth and whatever you see around you as a form of entertainment. The object behind this creation, there is no element of entertainment. This is not a circus that is operating around us, that we see the sun rising, the sun setting, someone coming in this world, someone leaving this world. Allah says, entertainment does not befit the majesty of Allah, and neither does it befit the believer in this world. Entertainment is exclusively kept for the believer in Jannah and not in this world. Furthermore, Allah says, لَوْ أَرَدْنَا أَن نَتَّخِذَ لَهْوَا لَاتَّخَذْنَاهُ مِن لَّدُنَّا. If we intended entertainment, although it does not befit our majesty, but if we wanted entertainment, we could have entertained ourselves in the skies by the many things we have created. There was no need for insan to create you for entertainment. In the concluding verses of the 18th juz of the Quran, Allah says, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. O man, do you feel that we created you meaningless, without an object, without an aim, without a goal? No, no, we have created you with an object, with a purpose. In fact, not only does Allah negate the fact that He has created us not for entertainment, but Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say, مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي. The beauty of a man's Islam will be that he doesn't only abstain from entertainment, but he goes one stage above, and he even abstains from those things which will earn him no benefit in this world and akhirat. Whether it be lawful or not, Nabi alayhi salam says, what will determine the beauty of the person's faith in the eyes of Allah is he or she who will abstain from any and every such act which is futile, which is meaningless, which is in vain. And furthermore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam goes on to say, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ. O my Sahaba, remember in abundance. Remember in abundance that particular thing which inevitably is to prevail in the life of every human, which will put an end to the element of lust and entertainment in your life instantly. I will repeat. What does Nabi alayhi salam say? Remember in abundance that particular thing which is inevitably to prevail in the life of every believer, which will instantly put an end to the element of lust and entertainment. What is it, O Nabi of Allah? It's nothing other than the concept of death and maut. Brothers, with the fever of the World Cup now, let's ask that man whose son's janaza is lying in his house, or vice versa. If there's a janaza lying in the house, would that person be concerned about the World Cup starting? That there's 20 pages in the Star, and the world is speaking about it, And like fools, the whole of England, if not the whole of Europe, is making or praying and saluting for one fool that his foot must recover to kick the ball. Ask that man in whose house there lies a janaza at this time. Would this fever affect him? Would it bring some concern in his life? Would he worry about who's playing and how long they're playing and what's the score and what's the latest developments? No. He's got a janaza lying in his house. He can't worry about that. Wallah, whenever this ummah has become prey to the temptations and the amusement of this world in any way and every way, is because the gaze have shifted away from the time that they are going to leave this world and the concept of death. That is why they have become gullible to various forms of entertainment, that the world comes and sways us in the direction that they want to take us. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَكْثِرُ ذِكْرَ هَذِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ. O my Sahaba, discuss in abundance that which will destroy within your heart that element of entertainment. Without doubt, this is a human desire. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has divinely exempted three forms of entertainment and has made it lawful, has made it permissible, and has approved it in the hadith which I have quoted before you. Kullu shay'in min lahwi dunya batilun. Nabi alayhi salam says, every form of entertainment is batil, is false, is in vain, will earn you no benefit with the exception of three. That apparently it also has the element of being in vain, but ultimately it leads to some object and some goal. What is it, O Nabi of Allah? Intidaluka li qawsik, wa ta'deebuka li farasik, wa mula'abatuka li ahlik, fa innahunna min al-haqqi. Number one, when you are playing with your bow and arrow in order to develop accuracy. Now you are busy doing it. At that time you've achieved nothing. You've hit no kafir. You've hit no target. Nobody has really benefited. But you are becoming professional and skilled in using the bow and the arrow. You are becoming an archer. And today it's not helping you. Today perhaps apparently that action of yours might be futile. But Nabi alayhi salam says it is permissible. It is lawful. Because by virtue of the accuracy that you will develop, it will assist you in the midst of the battlefield. The second thing is, وَتَأْدِيبُكَ لِفَرَسِكَ. When you are training your horse, you are galloping your horse, you are mounting on your horse, by virtue of understanding your horse, controlling your horse, tomorrow you will mount onto the back of this horse, and you will ride into the thick of the battle, and by virtue of that, as the Quran says, فَوَسَطْنَ بِهِ جَمْعًا, that the horse takes its master on its back, and penetrates into the midst of the battlefield, endangering its own life for the victory of its master. So here again, the time you're spending with that particular horse, taking it, riding it, galloping it, understanding it, whatever it is, apparently gives you no benefit, but ultimately, inshallah, it's going to help you. So Nabi alayhi salam says this is an action which apparently is in vain, but ultimately it leads to some object and it is permissible. And the third thing, of course, which is the expression of every human desire, وَمُلَاعَبَتُكَ لِأَهْلِكَ فَإِنَّهُنَّ مِنَ الْحَقِّ, that when you meet in seclusion with your partner and you fondle with your partner prior to having relation, this is a human need which apparently one might wonder is futile, is in vain, but naturally it's a human need which nature has instilled in every person. And here again, wallah, I say this, and I say this seriously, that this is also Allah's kindness, because the object behind this is that inshallah, if you will have a healthy relation with your wife, then inshallah, it will save you from having unlawful relation with strange women. If you will smile in your house with your wife, you will stop smiling with strange women. But unfortunately, we smile in the whole day. When we come home, our muscles are tired of smiling. When the wife is anxiously anticipating a smile. In the lunch break, I'm smiling with a strange woman. In the bus, I'm smiling with a strange woman. With the patient, I'm smiling with every strange woman that's coming before me. So when I walk in the house, that wife, with great chastity and modesty, who awaits my husband coming back and smiles, I'm unable to smile for her. Why? Because I have been smiling with strange woman. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that these are three instances where apparently it is in vain, it is futile, but ultimately there is benefit, so Allah has made it lawful and permissible. Brothers, furthermore, the second ayat kareema that I recited, wallah, it would be the height of ingratitude when at this time we know what is the plight of the ummah globally. We are not only talking of what's happening in Palestine. Let's see what's happening at the India and Pakistani borders. What's happening to the ummah there? What is happening to the ummah in Afghanistan? Now, one is to stand with them in devotion, in salah, in submission, in supplication. And one is if we are unable to share with them and continue in dua, then at least let us not get involved in such things which will ruin our akhirat and their akhirat. The ayat karima that I recited, it will just give you a glimpse as to how Allah detests and dislikes entertainment for the believer in this world. Allah has promised and Allah has designed Jannah to accommodate your entertainment and not your soul. That is why whenever we speak of Jannah, the Quran, we don't hear about, in Jannah you'll read so much namaz, in Jannah you'll read so much Quran. We hear about the woman of Jannah, we hear about the wine of Jannah, we hear about the fruit of Jannah, we hear about those things through which the human nafs inclines, because this is the human desire. And this is what Allah wants, that curb yourself. The ayat karima I recited, a typical situation. It was in that era where the Jummah Salah used to be performed after the khutbah. Like how we have on the occasion of Eid, that we first have, rather vice versa, first is the Salah and then is the khutbah. We have on the occasion of Eid that first is our Salah and thereafter the Khatib or the lecturer will ascend the pulpit and he will deliver his sermon. Now we find in the initial stages of Islam, this was the condition with Jummah as well. One occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is delivering the khutbah. The salah is over. The second khutbah is on. His sahaba have gathered in the masjid. And in Medina, there was a drought. And while they are listening to the latter part of the second khutbah, understand it clearly, in comes a caravan from outside. And the Quran says, وَإِذَا رَأَوْ تِجَارَةً أَوْ لَهْوَى. Now, it was customary amongst the caravans that used to come, when they used to come, a drummer would come and he would strike his drum, which would signal that the caravan has come, and you know, they would be selling basic necessities which people would go and purchase and would save them the trouble and the time of going outside to buy. So, one side there was drought in Medina, the salah was over, the first khutbah was over, it was the second khutbah and the latter part of the second khutbah. Sahaba seated, the Nabi of Allah delivering the sermon, and in comes this apparent fun. The Quran referred to this as fun and entertainment. And of course, sustenance, bargain, because they wanted to purchase also. And one of the attracting factors, the way it happened was that this person would come and hit a drum. Perhaps the children would come out and see and observe how this happened. Sahaba were caught in a dilemma, in a situation that if we're not going to purchase what we need, and we're not going to respond, this man will leave very shortly, and then it will mean going outside Medina and traveling. So many of the Sahaba then, while sitting in the company, made some conclusions. And they felt that the Salah is over, the first khutbah is over, it's the latter part of the second khutbah, there shouldn't be much wrong in what we do, and they left the gathering of Nabi alayhi salam to go and respond and to purchase some of their bare necessities. But at the same time, the Quran highlights the aspect of fun and entertainment because of the drummer striking his drum. It was enough for the Sahaba to leave the gathering of Nabi alayhi salam, and without the consent of Nabi alayhi salam, that Allah revealed the verses, and Allah revealed it in Surah Jummah, as you and I sit here today on this Mubarak day of Jummah. I think the first match starts at 1:30. On this Mubarak day of Jummah, the Quran says, وَإِذَا رَأَوْا تِجَارًا أَوْ لَهْوًا انْفَضُّوا إِلَيْهَا وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا. And when they see fun, or they see entertainment, or they see a bargain, انْفَضُّوا إِلَيْهَا, they hasten towards it headlong. وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا. And oh my beloved Habib, they leave you alone standing. 12 Sahaba remain, amongst whom were the Khulafa'i Arba. 12 remain, and the substantial amount of the Sahaba went. Understand, brothers, today, like I was speaking to one of my asatizah, he explained to me so beautifully that where Allah speaks about the prohibition of wine and gambling, then Allah speaks about, one is it intoxicates the mind and all the other disadvantages, but one common factor that is found in watching soccer or any other sports and is found in intoxication and in gambling, and that is Allah says, وَيَصُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ, that when you indulge in such activities, it prevents you from salah and it prevents you from the remembrance of Allah. Now this is what Allah says is the outcome of consuming wine, which wallah no person can deny is a similar situation here. Perhaps one can debate and argue the benefit of playing soccer, But wallah, no person can debate and argue that there is absolutely no benefit. And I'm saying this on the strength of people who are in soccer for years that have mentioned it to me. That looking at soccer, and at this time as we learned that there is even a health risk where people will be staring for hours and hours. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا تنظر إلى فخذ حي ولا ميت. Oh Ali, don't ever look at the sitter, at the thigh of any male, be he alive or dead. It is haram, it is unlawful, it is prohibited for a male to look at the thigh, at the legs, which is inevitably to happen here, whether intended or not. There's no way out. When you will look at the person whose sitter is exposed, then perpetually your sight falling on him will be falling on his sitter, which will naturally make you guilty of this guna. Nabi alayhi salam cautioned Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, Oh Ali, don't ever look at the sitter of any male, be he alive or dead. Then secondly, as I mentioned, وَيَصُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. That a person that will be involved in this year, naturally, his namazes will go. Many people, it takes such a toll on them, that apart from it affecting them mentally, physically, emotionally. Brothers, it goes to such extent that I'm saying this standing in the house of Allah. I know of one person, may Allah give him hidayat in the entire ummah. Whenever his team was playing, and brothers, you know when we say his team, those people, they don't care anything about you. You who are giving your life about his history, when he was born, when he took up the career, where he scored, how much he scored, his entire life, he doesn't even know you exist. Wallah, he doesn't know you exist. And many of them, and I stand for what I say, are raceless. There is no virtue in learning their names. In fact, we can say there is guna. Nevertheless, this person used to come to the masjid. In one place, I know this personally, I've seen this. And many of the youngsters used to come. He was in charge of the masjid time. Allah forgive brothers. On that masjid time, daily he used to come and change the time. And after it, on the corner, he used to put the score. The youth used to come. Wallah, I've seen this with my own eyes. Where the youth used to come and congregate at the masjid to see the score, which kafir is playing against which kafir, happening and discussed and entertained in the house of Allah. Then you ask, why are the du'as of the ummah going unanswered? Why isn't Allah taking a decision to destroy the forces of kufr? When we hardly over with the Palestinian crisis, and comes in the system of the West, and we fall prey to this. And this is but one that is to follow in succession. So, وَيَصُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. It will prevent you from the remembrance of Allah. Emotionally, physically, socially, time will be taken up. The Quran makes mention, اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُنْ وَزِينَةٌ. They tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what is the life of a human in this world? The Quran summarizes, and the most comprehensive way, gives us a synopsis, a brief explanation, of the entire different phases and emotions of the human. اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ. Allah says the first phase of the human life of an undeveloped mind is to play. The child, when he comes, the mind is not developed. And the reflection of that undeveloped mind is that he cannot be bothered what is happening around him. Thousands are dying, there is crime, the depreciation of the rand, whatever is happening. He sleeps and he gets up by his toy. He's entire day revolves around that toy. If he has a new toy, he has a wonderful day. And if he doesn't have a new toy, or his bicycle or tricycle is broken, he's depressed. His entire day revolves around it. That is why it would be unique for a child at that age, like the Quran says, وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْحُكْمَ صَبِيًّا. That Yahya alayhi salam was a small child. The Quran says we inspired him with the understanding and the object of his life as a child. He was a boy at the age of 3 to 4. And the children told him, Yahya, come, let's go and play. He said, Allah has not created us for playing. Wallah, today 40-year-old man cannot say what a 4-year-old child said. Today 40-year-old man also feels Allah has created me for playing. Some feel Allah has created us for soccer. Some feel for golf. Some feel for others. A child at the age of 4 said, Allah has not created me for playing. My Allah has created me with a superior object. So Allah says the first phase of the human life is playing. Then Allah says it goes on walahun. The second comes of that of fun and entertainment, excitement, something new. So when the child came in this world, you could, you know, thrill him with perhaps a small rattle, or you bought him a small toy. It fascinated him. But as the years went by, that very same toy which fascinated the child yesterday, he now shuns that toy. Now I need something more exciting, something more striking. So now the father takes the child to the merry-go-round, or he goes to a circus, or he goes to take him to watch a soccer match, or something else more exciting. And like so beautifully, there's an incident that I've heard from one scholar, that once there was a young boy at this age, and one day he asked his father, "Oh my father, buy me a yo-yo." So the father went around in the neighborhood looking for a yo-yo to buy, and it's strange that you try and consider the desires of your children over yourself also. That my son asked me for a request, you'll forget your own, but my boy told me, so I will go here and there and bring it and give it to my child. Somehow or the other, the father could not get it, and time passed on, but the desire remained in his heart that my son asked me this, I think I owe it to him. The child grew up, the boy matured, and he decided to go abroad to study. And some years later, he returned as a graduated professional, intellectual, competent person. And when he comes at the airport, there's thousands to receive him. And the father, the thought was always in his mind that I must give this gift to my son, he asked me. So he wrapped up, he bought a nice expensive yo-yo, he wrapped it up in a nice box. And amongst the many thousands that came to receive him, the father was also there. But of course now he is much more intellectual, professional. So he's been received and welcomed by professional people. His father dressed in his simple old garb. He's not very impressed with his father. And in the mix, the father comes, greets his son, and he says, "Oh my boy, this is a small gift from my side also. When you go home, you open it and then we'll speak." The boy goes home, when he opens it, and he looks that it's a yo-yo, he feels embarrassed. He feels insulted. And he comes back, and he throws it at his father. He says, "Oh my father, you haven't understood who I am. I'm no more that son of yours. I am now someone else. I have degrees attached to my name." So the father took a deep sigh, and he said one thing. سَيَظِلُّ عِبْرَةً لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَذَّكَّرَ أَوْ أَرَادَ شُكُورًا. Oh my son, yesterday the thing that entertained you, today the very same thing is insulting you. Let it not be that today your profession as it entertains you, tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah you be insulted by the same thing. Yesterday you were thrilled and fascinated by this. And if I brought it, you would boast, "I have a nice father. I have a lovely father. My father bought what I want. See, my friend, my cousin, my sister, my neighbor, my daddy bought me a yo-yo. Look at how nice my..." So yesterday, if I gave you that, you felt thrilled, you felt honored, you felt flattered. Today, you feel embarrassed by the thing that thrilled you yesterday. Let it not be that today, as you feel honored and you feel elevated by those saluting you, by those greeting you, by those honoring you, tomorrow when you stand before Allah, you feel insulted by the same thing. Brothers, wallah, we have a journey ahead of us. Life is to come. We have to leave this world. We have to stand before Allah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni." It does not befit the majesty of the believer. It does not befit the nature of the believer. It does not befit the iman of a believer that he occupies himself in things that are futile, in things that are in vain. We have to stand before Allah. We have to give hisab before Allah. Imagine you walk in your house and you are hurt. And then you see your child, he ignores you. And he's busy. He says, "Daddy, come see me. I'm doing my homework." And your wife says, "Come see, I'm busy cooking." What will you think of them? That while you are hurt and you are bleeding and you fell and you walk into the house in this condition. And this is how your family reacts and they respond. Brothers, one side, while you and I talking, a child is becoming an orphan. A woman is becoming a widow. Houses have been demolished. People are losing everything. And you and I find time in this condition when the hour is dark upon the ummah. And the night is dark upon the ummah, and the challenges are intensifying, and the world is mocking at the ummah. Inna alladhina ajramu kanu min alladhina amanu yadhakun. Allah says, indeed the kuffar are laughing at the believers. Wa idha marru bihim yataghamazun. And when the Muslims are passing by, brothers, we don't need to support that. What's his name? Zainuddin Zidane. Wallah, at this time we have to worry about what is happening to the ummah. Our affiliation goes out to the ummah. This is a deception and it is a delusion of shaitan. The Quran says, today the kuffar are mocking at the believers. Those that will live a life of piety and live a life of obedience, Allah says, فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ. Tell them to enjoy. Tell them to laugh. Tell them entertainment is yours. Tomorrow the believers will be sitting on thrones and enjoying the ni'mat of Jannat, and they will be laughing and mocking at the kuffar, provided in this world they live a life of obedience. Brothers, in conclusion, we end with this, that let us not become the victim of this entire fitna that is traveling in the entire world. And if perchance, may Allah give us hidayat, let us not watch it, let us not become involved in it. But if for even any reason we do get involved, then let us not become amongst those people who devote their lives in memorizing the lives of those people, understanding the entire autobiography of those people. Sahaba had those jazba, that one sahabi had 7 sons. He said, I'm going to name every son after the name of a martyr, so that from the time of birth, I can create a resemblance between my child and martyr, so that with the hope on the day of Qiyamah, this child, in this world, this child can be honored with martyrdom. And if he is not martyred, I will tell Allah, oh Allah, I spoke about Sahaba in my homes, oh Allah, I discussed Sahaba, and you are my witness, I have named my children after martyrs. Wa inni usammi baniya bi asma'i ash-shuhada la'allahum yastashhadun. So let it not be that the discussion between father and son, between mother and daughter, revolves around kufr, about the people of kufr, about those people that have earned the wrath of Allah, who have no objects in life. You look at those people's photos with any sense, if you have an human preserved nature, a human nature will openly detest such a person, and the world prays for such a person, and the world salutes such a person. Wallah, there isn't words to describe to which direction is this ummah leading. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect us from all the forms of entertainment of this world, and may He make us amongst those fortunate people who will enjoy pure divine entertainment arranged by Allah in the gardens of Jannat, perpetually at the desire of your own choice. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.